Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
We thank you for this morning. I thank you for the fact that there's an encouragement to touch the hem of your garment. Father, we stretch our hands this day. And we ask that every part of our bodies, even our unseen parts, will receive the touch of life in the name of Jesus. Father, beyond what I will say today, I ask that your angels will minister to everyone that is here, especially to the heirs of salvation, in the name of Jesus. Those that have been numbered to be added to the church, we ask you to add them. We ask you to save them. We ask you to communicate your love and your life to each and every one present in the name of Jesus. We pray for those who should be here this morning, but the enemy has lied to. We pray that your mercy will be stretched forth to them, and they will be visited in a short time, in the name of Jesus. Help us to see life, and let your kingdom come, as you have declared. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd like to greet all the servants of God. I seated Pastor Bello is well with you. The Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Amen. So everyone, you are all welcome in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not mourning, I'm rejoicing. Can you turn to somebody and say rejoice? And be glad. The Lord is good. All the time. It's like some people are happier than some other people. Amen. By the grace of God, I have in the house one of my daughters came in from Lagos. Can you please welcome Sir Precious? Where's Sir Precious? Sir Precious is somewhere. Maybe she's in the children's church. Hallelujah. She left here as a single. Amen. Sir Precious, you're welcome. Sure, you remember Sir Precious? Okay. It's good to have you around again. Hallelujah. That's how we'll be having all of you back one by one in Jesus' name. God will do it that he will transfer your husband here. There's nothing God can't do. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. This morning I want to speak. I perceive, you know, I had your answer yesterday, but I didn't hear the word as clearly. So when I picked that Bible reading, I didn't know your story was going to be one of those touch the hem of his garments in. Hallelujah. So I don't know. Maybe it was me who spied your notes. Amen. But I know the Lord is here. The Lord is here. I want to speak on something else, but the Lord drew my attention to our the capture for this month. What, who can remember what that is? Divine presence. I want to speak about the power of presence. The power of his presence. If you need a title, because the media have accused me that I don't title my messages. So I'm trying to conform. Praise God. But I do not be conformed to this word. Hallelujah. But this should not conform to the demands of the media. Amen. So I want to talk about the power of his presence. And I looked through the scriptures and I found one of the most powerful thoughts that it has to deal with his presence. Amen. Do you know our salvation is all about his presence? Do you know that salvation is all about returning to God? Are you aware? Are you aware? Our salvation is not predicated to a place. It's not about a place. You know, they've been told before that when you give your life to Jesus, you will die, you will go to heaven. Am I correct? Now, that is not wrong, but it is not accurate. Do you understand that? Do you understand? It's not wrong, but it is not accurate. The accurate thing about salvation is that you are returning to God Himself. If you read the book of Revelation, the Bible says God came down and dwelt amongst men. And we will see Him face to face. And now you wonder, why was that put in the Bible? What was significant about us seeing His face? What is about His face? What is about His presence? Why will He leave heaven and come and dwell with men? The Bible says the tabernacle of God is now with men. Praise God. The whole mystery, the whole agenda, the whole program of heaven is to make sure that God leaves heaven and comes to dwell with men. Praise God. Till today as I speak, angels have not seen His face. He's shrouded in light that there's no flesh can see. Not angels can see. They don't know His face. They are scared. Draw God. They can't draw God because they've not seen it. Amen. But the honor of seeing His face for the first time in billions of millennia is that Pastor Downs is not here to do the calculation. Since God created creation, oh, my English is okay. No one has seen Him. But you and I will have the first privilege to behold Him face to face. That's what they call salvation. Praise God. And so, till that time, He has promised His presence. And His presence is the most important thing you and I should cherish while we dwell here on earth. Praise God. And from the day of Adam in Genesis chapter 3, please, we don't have the projector or monitors to work. I understand there was an outage and some of the wires burnt. So we are going to have it repaired. Before Tuesday, it should be up and going. The Bible says in verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from where? From the presence of God. That was the consequence of sin. Apart from the fact that we died, the most important thing that happened to us, that from that day, men began to hide from the presence of God. And that presence, the Bible says, is the fullness of what? Of joy. And when Cain also sinned, the Bible said, you know, after God's conversation with Cain in Genesis chapter 4, verse 16, and the Bible says, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east side of Eden. Now, please, look, all of us can be on earth and the people say, God is God of all flesh. He's the God of all flesh. But not everybody is dwelling in His presence. Not everybody is in His presence. People have walked away from His presence. The story of the prodigal son was the story of a man that walked out from the presence of his father and went to waste his goods. Many have walked away from their father, their heavenly father, and they have wasted and they are still wasting in a strange land. But I pray they will come to their senses. The Bible said when he came to his senses, he said, what am I doing here? May you have that awareness in the name of Jesus. May the love of the Lord reach you wherever you may be and draw you home in Jesus' name. Whatever it is you are doing, you are really wasting away if you are not in His presence. So the Bible said he got up from there and he had to travel back. And when he came back and came into the presence of his father, praise God. The Bible says his father saw him afar. Hallelujah. And his father ran to go and meet him. In other words, we will understand that it is God's joy that you always come into His presence. It's His joy that you stay in His presence. Amen. Am I communicating? So it's possible for you to be on earth and you are not in His presence.
It's possible for you to be in church and you are not in his presence. Hallelujah. It's very, very possible. You can be going to church, but you are not in his presence. There's no record of you ever been in his presence. Amen. And Cain walked away from God's presence. God sees the whole earth. God monitors everything that is happening on earth. Even Jesus told us, he said, the hair on your head, they are numbered. Not that they are counted. They are what? Numbered. I don't know which one is number one. I don't know. But everyone on this head is numbered. Do you know there are over 70 billion people are on earth today? Now count the number of billions that have lived. And God has the number. He numbered everybody's hair. Praise God. And he can tell you, if you ask, if you do exam for him, the Lord, what is the number of hair? Can you tell me that Adam had? He will tell you the exact figure. Praise God. Okay, so you can answer Adam because you made him. Praise God. Okay, what about Esther? She had long hair. God will tell you the number of hair she has. She will tell you when she was combing the hair number, 1,000,001 broke off. And she can tell you the day and time and hour it broke off and when he repaired it. That's how awesome his mind is. Hallelujah. There is power in his presence. What we call life can only be deprived from his presence. You can't get anything. There's nothing you can get. The Bible says that, you see, they came into his, when you come into his presence, but there is fullness of joy upon his right hand. And what? Pleasures forevermore. Pleasures forevermore. So if you are thinking about pleasure, and I said before, really, we don't understand what pleasure is. You don't know what pleasure is. It has not entered the minds of men. Our technology cannot conceptualize what God calls pleasure. Praise God. No, you can't understand it. That's why nobody can understand what they call good. Remember that young man said to Jesus, those people came to test Jesus and they said, good master. And Jesus looked at them and said, no one is good. Now, he was not saying that he was not good, like normal people tell you when you go out for evangelism. Yeah, even Jesus Christ is not good. Hallelujah. And it was not saying what he was saying. He was saying that you do not understand good for you to say you can recognize good. Do you understand me? It's what you can recognize and you understand that you can speak of. Amen. So when you don't know good, how can you see good in the person? You know, Jesus Christ said some very profound words. He said, you being evil, if you know how to give good things to your child, as far as it's concerned, to give my son bread and not stone, fish and not serpents, he says he's still evil. That means you're going to categorize me with full and men. I don't know where you're getting the drift of my thoughts. We say full and men are wicked. We say they are evil people. But God said, you God, that you think you are good, you are as evil as him. Even though you are giving your child bread instead of stone, you are still evil. So how can you that is evil understand and recognize good when you see good? You can't. Praise God. Only God can recognize good and say, this is good. Amen. Just like I've always asked you, if you look at the vulture, is the vulture, will you consider vulture as something that is good or beautiful? No, you say the vulture is ugly. Abi? Well, he who made it in Genesis said, and when he made everything, he said, all was what? Who are you to now say it is ugly? Praise God. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying, therefore, that you cannot define anything outside of the parameters that God used in defining them. If God says something is evil, it is evil. It doesn't matter the number of Senate members that voted for it as being good. Praise God. Do you follow me? Right now, we're arguing yesterday. How do you pronounce woman? They say it is called women. It's not women. It's not women. It's women. Because they don't want to be associated with men. So they remove Money wa la in there. They say that is modern English. I say, as far as me Nigerian is concerned, it is woman. Now they don't even say amen. It's not a woman. Because they want to remove man. It's a woman. Amen. A, then you have men, but it's not a woman. I don't know where they are going. But me, I will stay here in Nigeria. I have no problem. Praise God. And if you can't understand my English, I have no apologies to make for that. Praise God. But God said that his presence is a source of life. It's something you and I should crave for. Now, there was this man, praise God, in Exodus chapter 33, you remember, when God was angry with Israel, was can I use the word? He was mad with Israel. Was very mad. Chapter verses 14 and 15. Was really, really mad with Israel. And it was mad to the point that he said, Moses, leave my presence. I want to destroy them. And I'll make you another set of people that will go into the promised land. And Moses said, no, God, don't go that way. Don't go that way. If you destroy these people, the enemies will say you are not able to take them in. When you saw that the thing was becoming difficult, you arranged for their killing. So, no, to not work. He persuaded God to change his mind. God said, okay, I will change my mind. But something I will do, my presence will not go with you. Now, if it was not that important, Moses would not have minded. Wait, at least, you shall take us into the promised land, shall. You know that kind of, no big deal. Are you sure you keep us safe? You give us our manna, our ration every day. What else do they need? Eh? An angel will follow them. Shall get there, shall? It's okay. If you don't want to come, it's not a big deal. You cannot come. It's your choice. I don't do any. I don't force people to like me. Praise God. It's not by force. But thank God for a man most like Moses. Moses said, no. He said, Lord, he says, if your presence go not with me, he says, carry us not up else. If your presence will not go up with us, if you will not follow us, an angel is not the same as God, though. Because God warned them, said, this angel that will go with you, he doesn't hear sorry. It doesn't say immediately we visit you with judgment. Even before the matter reaches heaven, he has killed you. Praise God. If that is it, Lord, you just stay with us. Not your angels. They can come, but you go. And if you are not going, I'm not moving an inch from here. And God had to say, okay, then that because my presence will go with you. May his presence go with you. Yeah. Oh, there's nothing else you need than his presence. Have I shared the testimony of there was a particular story I read, and that thing touched me very much. It was a story of a young lady whose mom was a Christian, and the young lady really wasn't a Christian, and the mom used to pray, speak to her, but she loved living her life the way she chooses to live her life. And one day her friends drove by to take her for a party, and the mom was at the door to see her off and said, the Lord go with you. And she said, this place is too crowded to allow the Lord. If you like, let me take the boot. Careless words. Very careless. Just a little beyond, after 30 minutes, a call came through to the mom. Said, your daughter had been involved in a fatal accident. No one survived. All of them in that car perished. But you know the funny thing? There was a crate of eggs in the boot. It was an head-on collision, so the car crushed. A crate of eggs in the boot. And I understand what it is to have an impact, head-on collision. Now, when they were creating this Elisha Road Express, it was one lane. We had just finished classes, in Futai, MBA class, and my friend was driving to his place. And he had gone to fetch water in Futa. He had these jerrycans, two jerrycans at the boot, And he had an head-on collision there. But he didn't die, though. Thank God. The car didn't smash, but one side just, you know, and he came down, you bash me, bash me. But when he got to the booth, we found that the jerry can had ripped apart. That plastic something you see is not going to say anything. The thing tore. Water tore it. Sliced it from top to bottom. We saw the whole thing like that on the floor. Water spilled out. For this case, in this case, when they got to the booth, all the eggs were intact in the crates. Because God went to sit there. So when they say, God, go with you, they don't say, I go with you too. That's carelessness. He said, the Lord bless you and bless you too. He said, have you said amen? He said, and he bless you too. That thing does not rest except there is an acceptance. And that acceptance is what? Amen. We are careless. Thank God for mercy. The Lord be with you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. The light. And he said, just pray through. Just pray through. And they are just saying the prayer. Oh, bros, I'm coming over to lunch. They are praying. Okay, no problem. When now tomorrow you now enter trouble, you know, you say, ah, it's the enemy of my family that is pursuing me. They had set up a method to deliver you, but you did not take it. Don't be careless. He said, my presence will go with you. So if your presence will not go up with me, don't allow me to go further. Hallelujah. In Psalm 16 verse 11 says, thou shalt show me the path of life. It says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand are what? Pleasures forevermore. May you enjoy pleasures forever. Amen. In the name of Jesus. It's not the pleasure of, you know, that pleasure we used to consider. That's why the Bible speaks about you singing psalms and hymns. Praise God. When they say, when you fall into diverse temptations, say, count it all joy. Because really, to tell the truth, a real warrior, he's happy when they say there is war. The real warrior. They say there's going to be fight. Do you know that missionaries enjoy it? They're happy when they say there's a war somewhere. Missionaries, those who call them missionaries, they are hired soldiers. And funny enough, many of them don't die. They will go to Rwanda and come back. They will come to Zambisa. They will fight again. They will go to Yugoslavia. They are called soldiers of fortune. They know how to enter war and know how to come out. So when they say there's war somewhere, today again, there's a breakthrough. Praise God. My brother told me that this Boko Haram said there are mercenaries fighting for them. There is Oyibo, there is Arab, there is Dudu, there are all of them, they are all there. But Nigerian God cannot own up. But in his presence, there's path. He will show you the path of life. So something you must crave for. Hallelujah. Now this, how much time do I have? So if I didn't ask, how would I have known? You remember when David sinned? And it was restored. He prayed this prayer, and I love this prayer. Psalm 51, we've turned into a song. And verse 11 says, cast me not away from your presence and take not the Holy Spirit from me. And I ask myself, why would David, why did he need to pray that prayer? I haven't asked God, forgive me for this sin I've committed. Why will he do that? Why? Look, only a person who understands the importance of a thing will appreciate it. You know, many of us, we really don't appreciate people until we lose them. I never think I stood before my father and said, Daddy, I love you. It's not manly. Praise God. But when we're writing his obituary and everything, I love you, Daddy, I miss you. So why did you tell him when he was alive? Please. Those of you that still have your father and mother, don't be ashamed to go and talk to them. I love you. I know even if your daddy like me, you say, Akiloshe, so are you okay? Amen. But somewhere there, that thing has a way of melting all kinds of negative everything. He doesn't look. It's great. It's when you lose them, you know, I have lost something. Don't wait till the day you lose them before you know you love them. Say it to them while they are alive. Praise the Lord. And so David understood the importance of the presence of God. And he asked God. Because what he did was going to instigate or going to prompt God to withdraw his presence. We are going to read about him later on. Nehemiah. Nehemiah came under a particular pressure. The master of God withdrew from him. He just withdrew. Hezekiah, thank you. God withdrew from him and went to see what he would do. If God withdraws from you, you have no hope. You have no hope. You can't survive this world. You have no clue what his presence means. And you see, listen to me. You don't have to compare yourself with an unbeliever. Amen. An unbeliever does not have his presence with him. He doesn't have. Now, you may not have the clothes, you may not have the packaging, you may not have everything that people see, but there's something you must never be ashamed of. The presence of God is with you. Amen. Amen. When God is with you, what is matter if God be for us? So who can be against us? And if God be with you, nobody can be against you. The difference between the two of us is just his presence. Hallelujah. He said in Psalm 91, say a thousand will fall where? At your side. And 10,000 at where? Right. I said, none of it will come near you. Because why? He's present with you. Hallelujah. Many of us think that coronavirus, I don't know, maybe it's, what's coronavirus really? It's a created thing. And in the realm of the spirit, the angels can see coronavirus. See, you don't know. You think the angels can't see it? They can see it. So there are many ways. The thing is coming and they're hitting it back. Like ping pong, you know, they're playing table tennis, they're just hitting back, back, back. Because you are living in a bubble. You are living what? In a presence. Did you not read about this man in South Africa? What was this man's name? John Gillick. During there was a plague that broke out in South Africa and was decimating the population. And John G. Lake, he was handling dead people. And he was like, how come this thing has not affected you? He said, the minute that thing touches his body, it dies. What do you think was killing it? Life was killing it. You don't know that life can kill. Eternal life kills you. Eternal life is the only antidote to death. Eternal life is what kills death. Can you cope with that? God will help you. Amen. So if you want to deal with death, you don't use death to fight death. You use eternal life to fight death. And when you read the story of Moses' rod and the rod of those magicians, it's a story of how life swallows up death in victory. When you look at eternal life, it doesn't have the packaging. I mean, I've watched a little Natural Geographic to know that the bigger snakes swallow the smaller snakes. But I believe I was not there. I was not there. I believe that snake. Amen. I only believe the magician snakes were pythons. Is it okay? Is it okay? The pastor is exaggerating. Let us enjoy this exaggeration for a while. Amen. But it would not be a miracle if Moses' snake was bigger than those snakes. They would say it was cheating. Just cheating. We cheat, why? Because that's the natural order of things. But if a small snake, kukulu snake, can swallow up mighty snake and it did not grow fatter, you should know that Anne did there. Praise God. You understand that one? Oh, Anne. Praise God. Amen. That is how life fights. And can only get it in his presence. So, the psalmist said, don't cast me away from your presence. That's the greatest thing. Do you know what it means to say, depart from me, workers of iniquity? When you hear that, God said, depart from me. What is hell? Hell is actually a place where There is no presence of God. He's void of his presence. That is what he's saying. When the Lord will judge people, like he's casting them out of his presence forever. There's nothing as, I don't know what to say. I can't say wicked. There's nothing as terrible, thank you, as that. It's not the killing. It's worse than being killed. You have no access to his presence forever. Man is if it's possible, you will say, people in hell are saying, God, please exterminate our existence. Let us cease to exist. Praise God. But it's not going to be like that. Say they were tormented forever. The torment is that they are out of his presence forever. It's not just the fire that is burning in them. It's the fact that they have no access to that presence again. So don't play with his presence. Don't play with it. Don't play with it. People have played with that. They've taken it for granted. And when judgment came, the judgment was to cast them out of his presence. So David said, cast me not away from your presence. You can't do any other thing. You can punish me. You can kill my son. But please, that presence, don't take it away. The Lord will not take away his presence from you in Jesus' name. The Bible says in Jude chapter 1 verse 24, it says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. He alone is able. I love that song. He is able, more than able. Can you continue? It's me today. Not everybody should come, just one person. He is able, more than able. That comes my way. He's able, more than able, much more than I could ever dream. He's able, more than able. He's able. He's able. More than able. Lord, I just bless you, man.
To accomplish what you sent me today.
Says now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. The fall is not the natural fall. The fall is to fall out of his favor that will make it impossible for you to be presented before him faultless. It says unto him that is now able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. That is the objective. He wants to present you faultless in his presence. That is the whole goal. He alone is able to do that. We pay so much emphasis on what we want to accomplish on earth. All these things will go. They will mean nothing when you cross that line. It will mean nothing to anybody. Hallelujah. But what will be important is, will you be able to stand in his presence without blame, without fault? Because no one, nothing unclean will stand in his presence that is unclean. And the only way you can be clean is when the blood of Jesus washes you. That's the only way. There is no other way by which a man can be saved except through the name of what? Jesus. That is how you can be saved. The salvation program is to present you faultless before him in his presence. It's his presence, that's all. If you are with faults, you need to be cleansed before you get there. It's not when you get there. Like when he was speaking, it's not in the midst of trouble that you begin to ask yourself, what do I do? It's too late at that point. Amen. You must know how to react before you enter that situation. You must have been prepared. Glory to God. He wants to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Oh, what a joy on that day when men will stand before God and they will cast their crowns before him and say, thou art worthy, O Lord. It was you that rescued us. It was you that did it from the beginning to the end. It was you that brought us into your presence. It was you that qualified us. Amen. That's it. Because the truth is that God has a billion and one things he wants to share with his people. That's why the Bible says his love is new every morning. For the next billions of millennia, God will not repeat his love. Do you understand that? What he did yesterday won't do today. The capacity of God to demonstrate love. Have you understood? He will spoil you. They will bow again. They will spoil us with pleasures. That while you are still trying to cope with this pleasure, they brought another pleasure. They brought another pleasure. I said, God, will you not? He said, no, you deserve it. It will bring more pleasure. At that day, that's KJV English. Not on that day. At that day, thou shalt remember that if not God, I would not have been here. Because that is all it's about. You being able to come into his presence. While you are here in the flesh, don't toy with that presence. Because that presence has its own taboos. There are things that presence will not condone. There are things that will not allow that presence to stay. There are things that repel that presence. You must avoid it. Don't play Ludo with God. He's a terrible chess player. Very, very dangerous. Said to the shrewd, I will be shrewd. When Cunningham died, it takes a Cunningham to bury him. God is more terrible than a Cunningham. Don't play Cunningham with him. Be straightforward. And he will keep you. That presence will go with you. Just be conscious that he's with you. Just be conscious. Anywhere you go, God is with me. God is with me. God is with me. God is with me. But there shall no evil come near thy dwelling. It's because of his presence. It's not because you can pray. It's just because of his presence. But prayer helps it. Hallelujah. Do you follow me? It helps it. Fasting helps it. But whatever it is, just make sure that you have his presence with you. The consciousness is possible. Because it's possible that you may not have to pray. And the day you are in trouble, you don't remember that he's present with you. Then you negate it. Let me close with that story. You remember the story of Elisha and his servants? When they came to attack them. And that young man came to his master and said, alas, we are undone. We are surrounded. The Syrian army has come. Look at their soldiers. They come with their elite horsemen and chariots. Said, we are undone, my master. And the man looked at him and shook his head. Ah! As the Yoruba say, Omo Omowe. Eh? Komo Ogun Openi. What's the English? Someone said that he doesn't know jazz. And Elisha just said, Lord, open his eyes. And when his eyes were opened, he saw that the whole valley and the mountains were filled with angelic horsemen, with their swords drawn for battle. All they needed was a word, and those angels would have leveled and decimated the whole army. But you don't need one, you don't need all those angels, you need only one. One angel is enough to do the work. That spirit that killed the firstborn of Egypt was an angel, was not many, one. Went through the whole Egypt in one night. Killed them. So now imagine when you have them in a legion. The battle will not take 1 second. You just see that the whole army has evaporated. They're gone. Hallelujah. May you be aware and conscious of his presence. Everywhere you go, carry. There's a song that we carry his presence everywhere. Can you take that song? Then I'll close. Can we rise on our feet? We take the song twice. Then we'll pray.
Who am I? Who mind is so full of me?
Enjoy this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.